The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when Jesus looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Grab your backpacks and your water bottles. Strap on your sandals, for we're headed up the mountain. And when we get to the top, we see there Elijah and Moses. We see James and Peter and John in awe of Jesus' brilliance. And then the sky darkens, and we hear the voice of God proclaim, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Then Elijah and Moses disappear, and we're once again alone with Jesus, ready to head down the mountain into the valley. Now, as we go down the mountain, our ears are still ringing with this command: listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Now, if I were to make this pronouncement, "Listen to Jesus," in the modern day equivalent of the public square, if I were to make this announcement on Facebook or in a letter to the editor, what kind of response do you think I would get? Anybody? Well, I think some might cringe. Others might roll their eyes. Some might even laugh. And why is this? Why is there this contempt for an appeal to authority? I think there is an underlying problem in our culture that has to do with those who claim to have to be in service to one in authority. And you don't have to talk to too many people about religion before you encounter someone who says, "You have no right to put your beliefs, your morality, your values on me." And it's not just people of faith who run into this issue about authority. Scientists are finding it more and more difficult to convince the public of the veracity of their findings. Respect for teachers has eroded. To be a person in a position of authority these days is to be questioned and challenged. And while this is sometimes very much warranted, a price is paid culturally when authority disappears from people's lives. The prevailing attitude then becomes everyone for themselves, and nothing really matters because no one and nothing can give our lives significance. As followers of Jesus, however, we are called. We are blessed. We are challenged to live differently, to allow God to have authority in our lives, to listen to Jesus. So let's do that for a while. Let's listen to Jesus' words, his teaching, his proclamation, and his life. When we listen to Jesus, we hear his cry at birth. And we know that God shows up in the reality of human experience with all of its joy and all of its suffering. When we listen to Jesus out in the wilderness for 40 days, we witness that when the demonic shows up, God does not flee, but instead encounters that one with God's word. When we follow and listen to Jesus, we hear Jesus encounter the man whose son was filled with demons. And we learn that when God shows up, demons are cast out. When we listen to Jesus, we hear a story about a prodigal son, about a good Samaritan. We hear stories of God's grace and mercy pursuing us. When we listen to Jesus, we hear him weeping at the tomb of his friend Lazarus as we smell the stench of death. And we hear him proclaim, "Unbind him and let him go." And we see that when Jesus shows up, he unbinds all that entombs us in our fear and sets us free to be about the work of God in the world. When we listen to Jesus, we hear him on the cross, abandoned by his followers, looking down on his executioners and saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." We hear a voice of grace. So, people of God, as you go out these doors today, you're going to hear a lot of voices. Remind one another. Remind yourselves, listen for Jesus' voice. And grab your water bottle and strap on your sandals, for when we choose to listen to Jesus, our work has just begun. When we listen to Jesus' life, we become Christ's people, set apart from our culture. South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu reminds us that when we respond to Christ's authority, we too are transfigured. We too are changed. And like those disciples, we are not left up on the mountain to build monuments to our accomplishments. Instead, we're sent down into the valley to be among God's people, to proclaim the good news, and to serve God's people. So, what is this going to look like? What do people who listen to Jesus do or not do? And I'm going to do that really obnoxious thing that I do on occasion, at least for introverts, is I'm going to make you turn to the people around you and talk to each other. And there are two statements that I want you to consider. A person who listens to Jesus is. And you can complete this with adjectives, certainly. Is humble, is loving, is radical. You can also complete it with verbs. A person who listens to Jesus is at the feet of his neighbor, washing his feet. A person who listens to Jesus is changing and growing. And a church who listens to Jesus is. Okay, I'm going to give you guys 2 minutes. Go. Okay, I'm going to reel you back in. I want to hear what you heard. Did you all hear that? I have a microphone. A person who listens to Jesus is happier. Okay, I like that. Is that Sophie's contribution? No. Okay, yes. Dad says yes. Yeah, Brian.
Changed.
Changed. Transfiguration is all about changed. So, a person who listens to Jesus is changed. And what does that mean? It means we're allowing to be growing, that we don't already have it all figured out, right? That we're in need of transformation, that we're in need in having transformed lives, that we can't do it all and be it all ourselves, that we need to be changed and transformed. Good. What else? Did y'all hear her? Person who listens to Jesus is comforted. Amen. Strengthened. Kind. Did I hear that right? Yeah. Be kind. Yeah? Caring, absolutely. In a world that can be so mean, a person who listens to Jesus is kind, is caring. Loved. That's a radical thing, right? A person who listens to Jesus is loved. And when we know and trust that we are loved and lovable, we can do a whole lot, right? Because that changes our whole idea about ourselves. You are the beloved. In a few moments here, Julie is going to be washed in the waters of holy baptism. And just as God proclaimed at Jesus' baptism, you are the beloved. With you I'm well pleased. These are words that are for you. You are the beloved. As you are washed in these waters of baptism, and you are the loved one of God, as are all of you. That's a huge identity. Huge identity. Okay, yeah, Debbie.
A person who listens to Jesus is never alone.
Ooh, a person who listens to Jesus is never alone. And this is a radical thing about Christian faith, right? That we have a God who dared to break through the bonds of heaven in order to be with us here on earth, who is willing to be vulnerable and suffer and experience human life. We know we have a God who is with us through it all. How about a church? A church who listens to Jesus is? Craig. A caring community, which is a pretty radical thing also in this culture. To dare to be a covenanted community of people who say, I am going to be responsible for these other people. But it's not just about me and getting what I need. It's about being part of this fellowship of believers, right? For whom I am responsible and who are responsible for me. And we care for one another. Good. One more. Changed. A church who listens to Jesus is changed and willing to change and grow. Yeah, chuckles, yes. It's hard, it's scary. But yes, God is continuing to call us to new ventures, to do new things. And God is with us through all of that change. Okay, one more, Kate. Trusting in tomorrow's hope. Is that what? Yeah. Yeah. A church who listens to Jesus is trusting. Has hope. That's right. Let us pray. Lord, open our ears in order that we might listen to you. Open our hearts. That we might be open to what you have to say. Lead us, guide us, give us wisdom. For we know it is in you and through you that we have all of this. Lord, we give you thanks for daring to come be with us, for giving us comfort, for working change in our lives. And may we seek to be a community that's open to change and to be transformed, to continue to be a people who reflect your love and your grace in the world. We give you thanks that through the amazing love that works in our lives, that we are your beloved. And because of this, we are able to reflect your kindness and your caring in the world. Lord, continue to keep our ears attentive to how you are speaking to us, eager to listen, submitting to your authority, willing to follow where you will lead. This all we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.